A reading from Psalm 103, 15 through 18. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, who gives life to man and has received Nathan in death, we thank you for your abiding presence and for the grace provided to us in Christ Jesus. In our frailty, we look to you for strength, and in our sorrow for comfort. Help us in this hour to put our trust in you, that we may receive light and understanding in a new experience of your grace unto eternal hope, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Nathan Frasinella was from Allenstown, New Hampshire. He died on November 14, 2022, at the young age of 40 years old, in the Concord Hospital following a brief illness. Nathan was born August 9, 1982 in Boston, Mass., and was the son of Michael and Gail Frasinella. Nathan, he grew up in Allenstown and attended area public schools. When he was younger, he loved going to visit his grandparents who were on Long Island, and he liked to take the boat out for some adventures, going saltwater fishing and clamming with his grandpa. Bug Nate, as he was known to some, explored the world of insects and frogs. He enjoyed fishing and spending time outdoor with his dog Gizmo, taking him for a hike through the woods down to the river. If you haven't figured it out already, he is definitely Mike's son. Nathan loved the friendships he nurtured in life. He was often seen preparing food for the next big party and going off to meet with those close companions for the latest get-togethers to converse over politics and the latest hot topics of interest. He loved to go to movies and enjoyed frequent trips to Fun Spot at Weir's Beach. And, well, who doesn't? In the fall, he would often take his annual trek with his sister Julie to Comic-Con in New York City. Nathan loved being around others and enjoyed the Christmas season as a time in order to spend with family and to give gifts to one another. Nathan's chosen profession was the restaurant industry. He worked for many local establishments in Concord and in Manchester. He enjoyed the interaction he got as part of the wait staff, but he also enjoyed being a cook, which I understand he was pretty good at. Nathan is predeceased by his brother Christopher. He is survived by his parents, Mike and Gail, as well as his sister, Julianne Frasinella, who unfortunately is not able to be with us tonight, in New Jersey. And yes, he leaves behind Gizmo, his dog. Mike would like to have us sing a song, so if you would, please stand. We have a blue book in the seats in front of you, underneath. The hymn is a very well-known hymn. We're not asking you to sing something out of the blue. It's Amazing Grace. We'll just sing the first stanza of 330. And we don't have accompaniment, so we're going to make a joyful noise tonight. Joyful noise. All right. Everyone seen pages 330? 330. Amazing Grace, how sweet. A wretch like me, I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Thank you. Please be seated. I'd like to share a psalm with you in which we ponder upon God and our mortality. You do have it available to you in the handout. It's a psalm of David, Psalm 39, 1 through 7. I said, I will guard my ways, that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle, while the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I refrained even from good, and my sorrow grew worse. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. Behold, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my lifetime as nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is mere breath. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. We've come tonight to have a memorial service. What is a memorial service? Well, it's a time to bring comfort as we have suffered a great loss. And we can find comfort in many ways. We come together as family and friends, and we gather together for the strength that is necessary to get through such a difficult time. But also, it's an opportunity to share memories of Nathan. We are gathered together. This is a time to remember him, all the things that he did in his life, and how it impacted you. It's also a time where we can reflect on biblical passages in God's Word in the hopes that it will give us strength and peace through such a difficult time. So now in our service, this is an opportunity we have to give testimonies about Nathan. I'll share one with you. I didn't know Nathan as well as some of you have. I knew Nathan more so through Mike. But one of the things I knew Nathan for the most, Nathan seemed to know exactly when to call at the end of church services. Mike and I would be doing our thing, and we'd be getting stuff together, and we'd be doing a collection, and no sooner was it like, save, Nathan's calling. And he's like, Dad, can you pick something up? Whatever it was, I don't know what it was at that time, it was whatever Nathan needed to have in the moment. But he would call, and he just knew exactly when to call. And Mike was always like, yep, I'll get that. So Nathan was the guy that always made that phone call. And I could hear him ask Mike for whatever he wanted. Is there anyone who would like to share anything tonight? We do have a microphone set up so we can make a recording of it.
I'm so loud, it's okay.
I
didn't really write anything, but I took like a bunch of notes. Because if you know Nate, all of this will ring a bell. We already mentioned Comic-Con. He did go with his sister. Lots of pictures. You remember when he went to Comic-Con, taking the day off of BBC for a weekend because he needed the whole weekend to do it.
Did he dress up?
He did not dress up. He wore like shirts, but he never dressed up. Reptile Expos was a big one. Every time he came to Manchester, he was always jumping on board. We always used to go with the kids. Movies, he was my movie buddy. We'd go at least once a month, sometimes twice. I'm gonna miss him for that. He used to pick on me because Pacific Rim was one of his least favorite movies, and it was one of my favorites. I'm gonna miss that. Top Gun, he got fired pretty much from one of his jobs because he loved Top Gun so much and made fun of somebody's kid for it. Definitely politics. He went to the Trump rally with his dad and my mother, and there's pictures, and they were so, I've never seen people so ecstatic to meet Trump. You didn't even meet him. They stood outside the whole time, and they all just ran and raved how great it was. I'm going to miss Nate for the politics, whether we agreed or not. PBRs. Nate could find a cheap beer anywhere. PBR was one of his favorite go-tos. He got the Subaru. We all told him he was a lesbian. He didn't care, so he went and got the Subaru lifted. And he came in, he was like, I got it lifted. And he's like, it's 2 inches taller. You couldn't tell at all. And he was like, see, it's not so lesbian anymore. His orange cup in the well water. He always had a truck full of well water, and it was just, I just remember being so thirsty all the time. Be like, Nate, you got some water? And he'd be like, yeah, right in my trunk. Walks at Bear Brook. One of the first times we went for a hike at Bear Brook with Nate, we had the dogs, and one of the dogs got picked by a porcupine. The dogs come out, and he looked at us and went, we have to go right now. We went our separate ways, and needless to say, the dog survived and didn't get it to another porcupine again for a while. I'm definitely going to miss Nate. We had a lot of good times. I don't know who I'm going to go see movies with. We always took the kids. My daughter's sick, like Julie. Julie's been texting me, too. She wished she could be here. It's just going to be weird without him. That's for sure.
This has definitely been the toughest time of my life, I'd have to say. But is Tiffany Westgate here? Would you like to read what you wrote, or would you like me to read it? On the tribute page on the Roan Funeral Home, several people wrote their memoirs of Nathan, and Tiffany wrote, I don't even know where to start. From the moment we met, we were inseparable. I remember everything we did together just like it was yesterday. You were my best friend, a little brother. You were quite literally two of my most favorite people on the planet. Your heart and soul was the kindest I'd ever met, generous to a fault. You loved me as I was. Then one day we took separate roads and never found our way back, only seeing one another in passing. I'm so happy we've seen each other recently. I wish I would have told you that I missed you and loved you still. Now I'll just say it to the wind and pray it reaches you. Until we meet again, my friend, you'll forever remain in my heart. Is Shannon here? There's someone named Shannon who used to work with him. She said, where to begin? You were the best movie, museum, zoo, concert, shooting, fun spot, music, talking politics, and everything else in life, buddy. You had the biggest heart. I will forever be grateful for all the fun times over the years I had with you. BBC, which is British Beer Company down in South Willow Street in Manchester, was a restaurant down there where Nathan worked. It was never the same after you left. You always had our best interests and the pure goofy side of you always had us laughing. I hate to hear you're gone, but you will always be with us in one way or another. Nate had a heart of gold, always gave us a reason to laugh or shake our heads. I cannot leave out his amazing cooking, always bringing us snacks he made at home or presents. He was always thinking about all of us, and I think that says enough. Fly high, my friend. I'm glad for all the time I got to spend with you over the years. You will forever be missed. And by the way, you haven't heard Amazing Grace sung until you sing it to the tune of the House of the Rising Sun. Same four-quarter tempo, but it puts a lot more tension into the song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Try it sometime on your own. I'll come in and I'll play it some Sunday. My daughter Julie wrote this note. I'm missing you so much. I remember the little boy who would hold onto my shoulders as I swam us around Short Falls in the summer. Short Falls was a swim hole in Epsom, right on the Suncook River. My buddy, as we hiked the trails of Bear Brook State Park, biking to Suncook River convenience store or Bywise for candy and ice cream, and then huffing up that last huge hill to home. Watching a 2-hour movie, but it took us 6 hours because you kept pushing the pause button to discuss a point. You'll always be my little brother, even when you got taller than me, and I'll always be your big sister. Nathan, I really miss you.
Down here. Sorry. My name is Tanya. I grew up with Nate, as a lot of you that are here did. I'm speaking for me and Nicole because she's sick and won't get up because she's a chicken. So I haven't spoken to Nate Nathaniel Fresnella in a little bit, but I grew up with him through the Allenstown schools and up through PA. He was one of my best friends growing up, sorry. When we were in high school, he used to bring me and Nicole and some of our friends roses every Valentine's Day. He never forgot a birthday. Even in the past few years, he would text me on my birthday. I spent years at the Cape with his family. Sometimes his mom would make us stuffed bananas. I was just talking about that. When I found out that he had passed and I put a message out online so that other people knew, I will say that the words that were put out there, I think his family deserves to hear that people felt seen by him. That's one of the things people said. They never felt judged. He made the people in his presence feel warm and safe. He was much bigger than me, so it wasn't that hard for him to wrap his arms around me and for me to almost disappear, which was beautiful. I have innumerable memories with him on the playground playing dodgeball. What is this ball? What is the throwing ball with the string, Nicole? Tetherball, which is not there anymore, but it was a big deal for us. He broke my glasses once. I wear contacts now thanks to him, which I appreciate, because they were really bad glasses. He was just a great person, and I don't know that anything in my life has made me realize as much as this that you should tell people how you feel about them and keep in touch with them, because I truly hope that he knows the literally hundreds of messages that we've seen of people saying positive things about him. You couldn't be in his presence without laughing, eating well, and having a fantastic time because he was the life of the party. So I just wanted to share that I don't think in my life I've ever heard anyone say anything negative about him, including my husband, who's just a real hard judge of character. He would call Nate Natalie because he was such a good friend to me that it was hard to even judge him as another guy because he was just like one of the girls, but in the most masculine way. And then the last thing I wanted to say is the reading was really appropriate where they were saying the piece about not speaking out and not saying things to bring wrath or judgment, because Nate didn't say things negatively, but he absolutely always spoke out on other people's behalf, stood up for people, was there for people. So he may have had a measured tongue, but he used it when he needed to. So he's going to be greatly missed, and his smile is absolutely going to make, the lack of his smile will make this a much colder place for a lot of people. And I'm sorry for your loss. That's it.
Any others?
Well, as we continue on in our service, I'd like to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 57. Sorry I didn't provide this one for you in the bulletin. However, if you take the Pew Bible in front of you, thank you. It's 139 on the second half of the Pew Bible. When it goes from Old to New Testament, it starts back at zero again. So 139 on the second half of the Pew Bible. It reads, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and the mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and the mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." In this passage, we are forced to consider eternity. It's something that happens to us often in life when we face the passing of a loved one, isn't it? Can't help but think about our own lives. Can't help but even ponder on for a moment how difficult it is that someone who at the age of 40 has come to an end. It makes you think. It makes you wonder, how long do I have? How much longer will it take for when that day comes? I mean, we're told in life there are two certain things, and we don't like either one of them, death and taxes. Right? Those are two certain things, and we hate them both immeasurably. But yet, we will face this. So we're told in verse 50 that we are fallen individuals. It's the nature of things. You don't have to take a hard look at our news and realize how difficult things can be out there. And you don't have to look at a two-year-old kid and say how wonderful he is or she is as they're yelling, screaming, stomping, and saying no to mommy and daddy all the time. Or when two kids are playing together and the other one says, mine, and hauls it away. We're fallen. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect. It's not like we're the worst of all, though, are we? I mean, we got a lot of nice people in this room, I'm sure. Nathan is a great guy, obviously, by all the testimonies given to us. Or is it Natalie? Which one is it? No, Nathan is a great guy. But we're told that We are corrupted. Our sin makes us corrupted. And in order to prepare ourselves for eternity to come, we have to do something in order to be in the presence of God. And we learn that corrupted flesh cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We just can't. God is holy. He has it so many places in Scripture, "Be holy, for I am holy." Well, you know, if we're already a fallen creature, and we're marred by sin, and we're imperfect as we are, then holiness is not something we can just achieve on our own here on earth. We can't do enough good deeds to make that happen. But we need to do something, because in our state that we're in, we can't get into heaven with a holy God. Now, he's a loving God. He's a caring God. He's a just God. And he will take you into his home, but you have to go through that transformation. And Paul tells us this in these words. So we have to go through that transformation. We have to take off the mortal, put on immortality. We have to take off the perishable and put on what is imperishable, so that we can be in the presence of God for eternity, so we can live forever. And it's hard to conceive, isn't it? Now, we live for but a vapor in time. If you're lucky, you get 80 years of life, if you're lucky. Not everybody gets that, as we know very well. But what is a billion years from now? And that doesn't even begin to touch what eternity is. We have to be prepared for that. We have to be made new. And we're told in this passage, in order to have victory over sin, to have victory over what is called death in Scripture, that means eternal separation from God, we need to find that victory in Jesus Christ. For it is in Christ that we have eternal life. He's the one who took on the punishment of sin. He's the one who is the perfect one who died in the perfect way that we may just receive him as our Lord and Savior. And if we receive Christ unto salvation, then the day will come where our mortal flesh and our mortality will become immortal. And that which is perishable in us will now become imperishable. And then we get to be in the presence all eternity, and we can consider billions and billions and billions of years to the millionth billionth power, if that's even a number. Because forever is an all-encompassing word, isn't it? It's a never-ending reality. It's a never-stopping. And in order to be able to endure that, we have to have that which is found only in Christ. And the world tells us there are many ways that we can get to God. And frankly, if you want to trust your life to that, go ahead. But Scripture is very clear, as we understand the Word of God, which we find is in the Bible, it tells us there is only one way by which we can be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. One name and one name only, one way and one way only, and he is the one who does the transformation for us, because he died on a cross for you and for me, and by the power of God, the Father raised him to new life, and those who receive him have that new life for eternity as well. We call it the glorified state, is what we're looking to see. The day we stand before Christ, the day he renews us and saves us in completion, and we know him for eternity that way. Do you have that assurance of eternal life today? We're stuck with asking questions that we don't normally ask because of what took place, because a loved one has passed. And so we ask the question, what will become of me? There is more to life than the 80 years you may get here. So, like the passage says, help me to count my days. Help me to measure myself and understand my mortality. Do you know that already today? Well, I hope you do, because that is the assurance we're given through the Word of God. Well, as we look to finish up this evening, I'd like to ask if you would all please stand. Now, in your bulletins, I've given you a copy because there are multiple versions of this from multiple translations. And so, for unity's sake, if we could read it off of this, please join me in reading Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Please join me in prayer. Lord God, we long for the day in which your word may be fulfilled. Your word states that in the end you will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there will be no longer any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. Lord, we long for such a day, a day in which we are relieved from our burdens and trials. But until that day, please sustain us, strengthen us, comfort us in our times of tragedy and pain. Lord, may your hand be upon Mike and Gail and Julie at this time. May your hand be upon Nathan's friends. Help them through the grief and see them through the tough times yet to be realized. Strengthen them in your love. Sustain them in your grace. May your mercy visit them continually as they mourn for the loss of Nathan. And Lord, shower them with your love, and may your mercy make them anew. Amen. That concludes our service. Thank you for being here tonight.